Today we're going to continue on with our series in the 40-day fast, and it's called A Crisis of Belief. Our passage is Hebrews 11:6. So would you rise and let's read it together. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. This is the word of the Lord. And you can be seated. Dear Lord, thank you for this time. And as we open ourselves up to what you have to speak to us today, we pray that your spirit would move in this room, Lord God, in our hearts, Lord. And may we just really avail ourselves to you, being open to how you want to speak to us. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. During my college years, I was asked to step into a position of leading a Bible study. And my first reaction was that I was terrified. I was absolutely terrified. I had taught children before, and like my parents were pastor. My dad was a pastor, so I kind of grew up really in the church and doing a lot of different things. And so I was used to teaching, but I was used to teaching kids, right? And for whatever reason, I guess I felt like kids don't judge me, you know? So I felt a lot more comfortable teaching kids. It wasn't something that I was terrified to do. But when I was invited to lead a Bible study for my peers, I was absolutely terrified. And in my mind, I was like, I don't know more than them. I struggle with praying and reading the Bible like everyone else. What can I do that will add anything in their lives? I felt terrified about being responsible for anyone else's spiritual growth, and especially among peers, right? And I was like, I felt such a weight of responsibility behind that. And so my first reaction was like, no way, you know, I'm totally inadequate for this. And then I started to think about it, like maybe this is an invitation that God's asking me to step forward into and to take a step of faith. And the thing that came to mind was David and Goliath. There are a lot of different stories in the Bible, but David and Goliath is a really good example about how God doesn't look at our abilities, our strength. He looks at our heart and our faith in him. So that was like the one encouragement I thought, maybe God is asking me to step forward in faith and not to depend on how adequate I feel for this task. And so we'll leave you on a cliffhanger, whether I said yes or not, no to that. God always leads us into a crisis of belief when we are seeking him and in our journey with him, all right? What is a crisis of belief? I want to make sure we understand that term, because when we think of the word crisis, you might think it's always a bad thing, right? I hit a crisis of my life, you know, something really horrible has happened. It's actually not the way that we're using this word. This term is actually coined by Henry Blackaby in his book, Experiencing God. And Experiencing God is the book that we're kind of like really forming a lot of our 40-day fast messages behind and working through the ideas in this book. And so when he uses the term crisis of belief, he's using the word crisis with the definition, it's from the Greek word, that says it's a point of decision or judgment that you have to make. And what he says is that God, when we're seeking him, he always leads us to a point of decision, a turning point, where we're going to have to make a decision whether we're going to step forward and believe God in faith to do something that we know we couldn't have done on our own. We're always going to be brought to a decision point in our walk with God. So just to do a little bit of recap, just to say, if in case you haven't been joining with us for any part of this series, Experiencing God series that we've been doing, the first week that we covered in our week of the fast was that God is always at work. He's always active in our lives and in our world, moving in our lives to bring us to him and bring us into a relationship with him to work out his plan for bringing about his kingdom here on earth, and his will to be done. Week two, we cover that God pursues us, and he wants us to be his children. He wants us to understand his heart and his purposes, so he's always pursuing us. Week three, we talked about how God invites us. There's a unique calling that each of us have to play in his plan to minister to the world. So he invites us to that. Last week, we talked about how God speaks to us, and he speaks to us through his word, through people around us, through our circumstances, through supernatural ways. And then this week we're focusing on how God leads us to a crisis of belief, a decision point in our faith. Well, as he's calling us, as he's inviting us, as he's speaking to us, it's leading us to a point where we're gonna have to take we're going to have to make a decision whether we're going to take a step of faith. A crisis of belief always requires faith. Hebrews 11:6 that we read, it says, without faith, it's impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him has to believe that he exists, and he rewards those who earnestly seek him. We believe in a God that we don't physically see. We see signs of God everywhere, and we see signs of God in each other because we are made in the image of God. But we don't literally, we wouldn't say we see God the way that we see each other, right? So already in, we are called to a walk of faith to say that everything we do when it relates to why, who do I believe in and why do I make the decisions I do, why should I follow a God who, what he says in this holy book that's called his word, why should I follow that, right? It takes faith to believe that God wants me to follow this and he's going to reward me if I believe and act on faith on what he asks me to do. So a crisis of belief is always going to require faith. And that book, this book of Hebrews, and especially this chapter 11, it goes on to name all these different famous people throughout history and Bible history, right? About people who had to act on faith in God and show that they're going to believe in who God is and what God says he's going to do, and they'll act on it. It gives the example of Noah. Many of us know that God told Noah that there's going to be a flood. No one in history had experienced anything like what God was going to do, send a flood. But Noah believed God, and he decided to build this ark. And because of that, he saved his family. He, again, was a seed of God restarting, kind of like a restart of humanity, right? To continue what God had planned to do. God asked Abraham to sacrifice his son Isaac. Abraham is actually given an example a number of times in this chapter, because Abraham was a man who really walked by faith in God. One of the examples it gives is that when God asked Abraham to sacrifice his son Isaac, Abraham was willing to do that. He was about to do that. And one of the things that is incredible is that Isaac was the one that God gave to him out of a miracle birth. And he was the one that God promised through Isaac, you're going to have a continual lineage and descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky. So he's now going to kill the one that everything is supposed to happen from, right? It takes what kind of faith to walk in God and believe what God says. He's like, somehow God is going to work it out, right? And he was about to kill his son until God stopped him and said, hey, you know what? Like, I have another sacrifice here. Kill this ram instead. So in all this, these examples are given to us because God wants us to step forward in faith. And it's a part of the relationship with God where he's saying, in love, he wants us to learn how to trust him and that he has a plan that he's working out in this world and in us, that he wants us to learn how to believe what he says that he'll do, and we'll grow in faith and our trust in him as we keep acting upon and obeying what he says to do, even when we don't know how it's going to work out. So what are the markers that God is speaking to us? Last week we talked about that God speaks to us through people, through prayer, when we receive peace through prayer. God speaks through circumstances in our lives, and God speaks to us through miracles and his word. And I want to say the word, the Bible, is a way that we get to understand God's character and who he is. Sometimes through the word, he speaks directly into a situation. Like, there are passages that speak directly to what we're facing, right? But probably more often than not, we learn how God thinks through the principles of the word. We understand what are God's priorities. Say that you're in a relationship with somebody, in any situation, friendship. The longer you get to know them, the more you know what they like, what they don't like. At this point, Pastor Soon and I have been working together for 11 years almost, right? So there's some things I know that he's already going to, what his priorities are. I don't have to ask him. I already know this is the things that is his most important things, this is less important. You know, I know what I can negotiate with him, right, on certain things. So the more you get to know someone, the more you get to know how they think. You don't always have to ask directly if you get to know them. Knowing God is similar in the way that when you learn to read the word on that regular basis, you get to understand, oh, these are God's priorities. I'm beginning to understand how to make decisions in my life, right? So when it came to my story, how did I know God was speaking to me? When I look back, I would say that I was looking at my circumstances. And up to that point, I really knew I was hungry and eager to know God more. That's what I knew was happening in my life. My senior year in high school was a really formative year for me. And I felt like I kind of hit a growth spurt in terms of spiritual walk with God. I had known God always as a kid, but it was my senior year in high school where I was like, God kind of just spoke to me in ways that I had been asking him for years to speak to me. And so it was like a year that I can just experience like, oh, I really experienced God on a personal level. So I really kind of began to grow spiritually. And into college, I was just hungry to really grow in my faith. And so I was just really taking every opportunity, going to the Bible studies, trying to find ways that I could serve, going to things that I felt like would really help me to grow my walk with God. And so being invited to lead a Bible study was actually, if you were to think about it, a natural step of growing in my faith and discipleship, learning how to nurture other people now in their faith, right? That makes sense. It's a good, like, natural next step, right? I would also say that the church that asked me to lead, God speaks through the people around you and the circumstances of the people the church speaks to. God speaks to the people in the church asking me to lead. The main thing that was holding me back was my fear and my inadequacy, the fears of I'm going to fail. I don't know what I'm going to do, how I'm going to fill this, you know, responsibility. And the thing that really helped me to actually say yes at the end of the day to that was that passage where Samuel is about to anoint the next king of Israel. And he goes to Jesse, a man who has a bunch of sons. I think it was 7 sons, right? And in that story, God says, you're going to anoint one of Jesse's sons. And the first son walks by, and Samuel goes, oh, that guy looks like a king right there. He's got to be it, right? And then God goes, nope, I haven't chosen him. The next son goes by. Jesse's like, oh, it's definitely that guy. God's like, nope. So all the sons go by, right? And at the end, none of them are it, right? The 6th son goes by anyway. And then Samuel's like, do you have any other sons? Because none of these guys are it, right? And then Jesse goes, well, I have my youngest son. He's in the fields watching the sheep. Jesse, no one actually expected that it could possibly be his youngest son, David. So Samuel goes, call David back. Call David in into the house. They call David in, and then God goes, this is the one I've chosen. And he's like, you know, obviously he didn't look like a king. We don't know exactly why. Maybe he just didn't have the stature. He was young. Maybe scrawny, we have no idea, right? God tells Samuel, I don't look at the things that the world looks at. I look at the heart. And it was that passage from the Bible that really encouraged me to say, it's not about my abilities, God looks at the heart. And so scripture speaks to us when we are looking for markers and how God is leading us to take a step of faith. And every step of faith, every crisis of belief is an opportunity. Sometimes we think, I'm going into my death sentence. Like, that's actually how I felt once I said yes. I was like, I'm going to die. This is going to be so hard. I don't know what I'm going to do. You know, I felt like such a loss. But every crisis of belief that you step into is an opportunity. I'm going to give you an example. There is a man who many of you guys know. His name is Peter in the Bible. There's a story about him where Jesus, after he feeds 5,000 people and this miraculous feeding, he tells his disciples to get on a boat and cross to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. And Jesus goes up on a mountainside to pray, and then the disciples are traveling on their boat to the other side of the lake, and there's a storm that's going on. Before they know it, they see a figure walking on the lake, and it says it's before dawn, so it's still dark. Right, probably like 3 or 4 in the morning. And a figure that's walking on the lake is terrifying. They think it's a ghost. So they cry out in terror. And then as soon as Jesus sees them, he goes, don't worry, do not fear, it's me, right? And then Peter takes this kind of interesting test. He kind of is like, well then Jesus, if it's you, tell me to come out to you, walk to you. And Jesus says, come. And then from that point, now it's up to Peter to take a step of faith, right? He needs to now get out of the boat because he just put the test before Jesus, right? And so this is a moment where will Peter believe, not in his own ability to walk on water, because we know we don't have, no one has ability to walk on water ourselves. He says, does he believe that that is Jesus, and Jesus the one, if he told him to walk on water, Jesus will give him the ability to walk on water. And he decides to get out of that boat and start walking, right? And he does walk on water. So that's the opportunity that we all have when God invites us and when he presents before us this crisis of beliefs, this opportunity to take a step of faith. He wants to see if we're going to take him up on that offer, will we get out of the boat and will we walk on the water and see him do something that we could never do. Secondly, a crisis of belief is an opportunity to join God's larger redemptive story. When God was speaking to me at that moment, it was, Yvonne, do you want to take this next step of faith? Do you want to take this next step in leading this Bible study? Will you be willing to be used by God despite your own fears, your sense of inadequacy, whatever it is that might be holding you back? Will you trust that God's going to allow you to be used as part of his plan despite what you feel are your own weaknesses? Will I allow God to sharpen me, to test me, to train me to do what he wants to do? And that's not always going to feel good, right? So God is saying, will you allow and say yes to be part of my larger redemptive story? God's working out a plan that we get to be a part of. And that part, we're not going to see from start to finish, but we're going to be a part of that larger story that God's working in this world. And so will we be part, will we say yes and take the opportunity that God's presenting before us to be part of the larger story that God's working out to bring people to him? We're all on this journey of faith, and it takes one step at a time. So let's take a quick look back at Peter's story. So Peter gets out of the boat, and he starts walking. And for those of you guys who know the story, we know that this story doesn't actually end well, right? He starts walking, but the reality is that he has to keep taking the next step, right? He starts and takes a couple steps, and he's walking on water. And then before you know it, he begins to look at the wind and the waves. He realizes there's a storm going on. He realizes he's walking on water, and then he starts to get scared, right? And then he sinks. He starts to sink, and he has to cry. He cries out, Jesus, help me. And then Jesus reaches out immediately and grabs him and keeps him from falling into the water, right? And so this story doesn't end like with Peter all gloriously like finishing that walk. He's all wet, you know, and he's like probably clinging to Jesus and getting back on the boat, right? But I love this story because it tells us that, first of all, we have to keep taking steps of faith. It's not just one step that we take. We have to keep taking the next step of faith. And the other thing is that it's not about our success even, that there are times where we're still going to fail while we are walking on this step-by-step journey with God. And God, he will save us when we call out to him. We're just like, Lord, save me, you know? And then he comes out and he saves us. And if we stick to him in this journey, like Peter stuck to Jesus, Jesus called Peter the rock, right? And he made Peter into a bold and courageous disciple. He had a long-term plan for Peter. And that's the plan he has for us, if we're willing to stick with him, even if we feel like we're failing at times, right? So he's turning us all into those kind of disciples that he knew he saw in Peter, the rock of the church. Another thing we have to realize is that we have to leave the results up to God. When we decide, okay, God, I'm going to take this step of faith. Then I'm going to really, like, you know, put myself out there, God. So everything's going to work out, right? Right? Like, that's what we kind of feel like. Everything will turn out really great, right? And yes, things do turn out just as we had hoped sometimes. But I would say probably most of the times, things don't turn out the way that we thought they would. And so we have to choose to leave the results up to God. There's a Hebrews passage at the end talks about what happened when people took a step of faith. And it kind of ends with, this is what happens, right? And Hebrews 11:33 starts with, those who took a step of faith, through faith conquered kingdoms, they administered justice, they gained what was promised, They shut the mouths of lions. They quenched the fury of the flames. They escaped the edge of the sword. Their weakness was turned to strength. They became powerful in battle, and they routed foreign armies. Yes, right? Women received the back their dead, raised to life again. That's what happens when you take a step of faith. Let's just end it right there. Yes, God, that's all I want, right? But no, this passage goes on. Then there are others who are tortured, refusing to be released so that they might gain an even better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were put to death by stoning. They were sawed in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in sheepskins, goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains, living in caves and in holes in the ground. These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. That is like, that's a hard, hard reality and word to swallow, right? Is that when we say yes to God and taking the step of faith, is that sometimes it's gonna be exactly what we had hoped for. But many times we're gonna have to say, God, this is maybe nothing that I had hoped for, but I'm gonna still trust in you. I'm gonna still take the next step of faith. And the reality is that for all of us now, until Jesus comes, none of us are gonna actually see the end and the fulfillment of everything that we had been hoping for until Jesus comes. So we are all going to have to keep walking on this journey of faith. And we have to trust that whatever part that God has for us, that we're gonna keep being faithful to that part of it. When I decided to take a step of faith and say yes to leading that small group, I didn't actually get the results that I had wanted even at that time, right? The members were all great people, but none of them were really interested in Bible study, actually, the ones that were assigned to me, right? So we started off pretty well, and then before I knew it, halfway into the semester, like, no one wanted to come to Bible study. They're like, we're busy, you know, I want to do what my friends are doing. It was like really hard to like be like, hey guys, let's hang out, let's study the Bible, let's do this, right? It was really difficult. And so inside I was like dying. I was like, I'm failing, like nothing I'm doing is working, right? Like these girls are not gonna grow in their walk with God. And I just really felt like, God, I told you, I knew I was not gonna do this like very well, right? So in my heart, I would have really wanted to quit, to be honest. I was like, I'm just not up for this task, right? But the thing is that at that moment, I think really the only thing I did was just to not quit and to keep doing what I could, right? Keep calling, keep availing myself, like of just being available. I think the best lesson that I can look back on, although I didn't know it at the time, was just simply a lot of the times walking by faith is just don't give up. Stick with what you are doing, what God's called you to do, because the results are not in your hands. You never know what God is going to do. And that's the lesson I've had to learn over and over and over. My examples, I can't help it, they're all ministry examples, and I'll give you some ideas later what that might mean for you. But I will also say that reality is most of the fruit that we hope to see in our lives, no matter what it is when you take a step of faith, you have to trust that even though you don't see the result, God's gonna work it out later in your life. It's only rare moments that you actually get to see that there's some fruit that came later. And it may be in a completely different way than you expected. I did youth ministry during my seminary years. And at that point in time, I was also really like, I was like, youth are not my thing, right? Like, I don't do teenagers. That was my mind. Just as like, I was like, I can do kids, but I don't do peers and I don't do teenagers, right? But I really did feel like at that moment, God was telling me to take a step of faith and actually work with youth. So I started interning at a church and we started working with the youth. I completely had no idea what I was doing. I was so confused most of the time. And like, all of a sudden I was like, why are these middle school girls running around screaming everywhere? And like, I don't understand why they're always screaming and running in hordes of people, like kids. They're always running in the horde of people. I was like, I have no idea what's going on. I just prayed a lot and I cried a lot because I was just like, I really don't know what I'm doing, God. I don't think I'm making any difference. No one pays attention to a single thing I ever say, you know? And, you know, that was like 2 years of that moment. And then I really was like, I have no idea. I can only say that. I'm just going to leave that up to God. You know, moved on. I came to LA. Years later, I would say probably it was like 8 years later, I get a Facebook message from some really vague acquaintance of someone I knew in college, actually, right? This college person contacts me. I can barely remember who they are. And they said that they're now at the same church that I used to work at, and they're a teacher in that church. I think they're working, like, say, with a young adult group. And then she goes to me, and she goes, to paraphrase, she's like, I saw your picture in, like, one of the old, like, you know, church something, right? And she's like, I saw that you worked with the youth at that time. And she goes, you know what? These youth are now, like, leading ministries, and they're really solid. Like, they're like one of the most solid leaders. They're going to start a new church plant, and these are the leaders that are going to go out there. I really trust that they're going to do a great job. And my mind was like, what? You know, I mean, I actually, they had a lot of other leaders, and so I know it's like, I just played a part in their lives. But just the fact that she sent me that message, I really think that was from God, because I think it was a real moment that God was like, look, just be faithful to the moment that you have wherever God places you. He's in charge of the long term, what he wants to do, right? And then, yeah, I was blown away. I wrote it back. I was like, I had no idea. I was like, I just cried all the time. I was like, I have no idea what I'm doing. That's all I told God, you know? And then she goes back to me, and we had it was just so encouraging. With all that, I think we just have to remember, when God invites us to take a step of faith and trust the results up to God, and it's an opportunity. Not to see it with so much fear, but trust that God is going to lead us wherever he's going to help us wherever he leads us. And I want to ask us each, what does it look like for you to take a step of faith today? Whatever it is in your life, what does it look like to take a step of faith? What is the crisis of belief, that moment, decision point that God is bringing to you to say, this is the next step. This is the next hurdle, say, in your season of life right now. What does it look like to take a step of faith? What would it look like to believe God for maybe doing something that you didn't, getting out of your comfort zone, whether it be like regarding your future job, something related to your family, whatever it would be? What would it look like on that level if that's what God is placing in your mind? Some of us might be just this week, you have a lot that you're facing. You're overwhelmed by literally what you have to do, right? Maybe how much you have to study. And you're like, I feel so overwhelmed right now. Maybe your step of faith is God saying, you trust God to help you through, to keep relying on him, just taking it one day at a time. Just keep going, right? What is the step of faith that God is calling each one of us to do? For some of us, it actually may even be saying that, God, I decided to stop walking by faith because I was disappointed by the results before. And God might be saying to you, trust in me again and take the next step of faith. So at this moment, I'm just going to invite us to just take a moment to pray and say, God, what is it that you are asking me to do? What is my next step of faith? I'm going to trust you in it. And we're going to trust that the Holy Spirit is going to work in us here at this time, giving us words, giving us images, speaking what we need to hear. Lord, we give this time to you, and we ask, God, that you would speak, Lord God, speak because we are listening. We trust, Lord God, that whatever you are speaking, it's been things that you have been leading us to. Lord, that you've been guiding our lives up to this point, the experiences that we've had, are leading us to a moment, Lord God, as we're listening to you, to take the next step of faith. Because you said that faith is believing in what we don't see yet, and trusting and obeying and taking forth with action, moving forth with action. So Lord God, give us faith. Like Peter, help us to depend on you, the God who calls us out to step out of the boat and put our feet on the water, trusting, Lord, that you're going to let us stand and not sink. Amen, Lord. We thank you, God. We pray all these things in your name. We pray, amen. Amen.